Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello and welcome to the Dressed in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and today one of my best friends will be interviewing me so that you can get to know my testimony, the calling God has given on my life, and really just me, so you can get to know me a little better. I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode, and I pray this will be an encouragement to someone. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's get started. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Dress in Splendor podcast. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, but this time I'm actually going to be the guest speaker. I have my dear friend, Amber Heinrichsen, who joined us for the very first episode introducing the Mountains and Valleys series here with us, and she is going to be our guest host, actually asking me some questions and for me to be able to share my testimony with you guys so you can know me a little bit better. So you guys know about her already a little bit, but if this is your first time tuning in, I would definitely recommend listening to our intro to the Mountains and Valleys episode so that you can learn a little bit more about her. Thank you so much, Amber, for joining us. I'm so excited for you to be here. And I feel like I don't know anybody else who could do this better because you know me so, so well. And I know that you'll ask some really great questions.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I just love you. So I'm really excited to just be sitting across the table from you and be able to ask you questions about your life and about Splendor and this podcast so that other people can get to know you more.
Yeah, that's really special. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's just dive on into it then.
Okay.
So first, Lydia, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you came to know God, just where the start of this journey was?
Yeah. So fun story. I am originally an Army brat. I'm actually also the fifth of six children, so a pretty big family. I'm really blessed to actually be born into the family I am in because it gave me such a love for traveling. But I also grew up in a Christian home, and I remember that just remembering thinking about how, because I was a part of a Christian family, that meant I was also a Christian. So at this school, when I was living in Belgium at the time, I was probably like six, seven, and
I had this friend who would get upset every day, right on the dot, at recess, and she would get so mad and then run over to the monkey bars or the whatever treehouse thing that we had. She would run, and I would walk calmly and everything, and I would walk up to her and say, "What would Jesus do?" So she actually...
I bet she really loved that.
Oh, gosh. Actually, you know what? She never got upset. You know how some people get upset and be like, "Oh, I know." Well, she was like, "I know." And I just always thought that I was a Christian because of me being in a Christian family. But my dad retired from the military, and we moved from Europe all the way over to America. And we lived in Michigan for a few years. And that was when I was 8 years old, we were in Sunday school class, and my teacher explained what it actually meant to be Christian, how you knew you were a Christian. And, you know, I think nowadays, as, you know, adults have matured over years, we kind of say, like, there is a believer's prayer, but, you know, I think that we kind of use that in a very broad sense of terms, but back then that's exactly what I needed to hear. So at that point I was like, "Oh, I need to ask Jesus into my heart." And so, you know, she said, "If you want to pray this prayer, pray alongside with me silently." And that was when I decided to follow after Jesus authentically. And I knew at that point that that was when Jesus entered my heart. So, you know, I think that I've been acting as a Christian a lot before then, but then it was really true at that moment onward. And I honestly just, you know, even though I went to a public school at that time, I really just wanted to follow hard after Jesus. And my parents did a really good job of making sure we followed and went to a church that, like, was very firm on the Bible and what it said. And, you know, they didn't want to wishy-washy. So we kind of grew up in Baptist churches because they were really good about preaching the truth of the word in very practical senses and terms. And that's how I love to learn the Bible, especially when we moved to Peoria, where I live now. And being and growing up in this church, like, they really actually dug deep into the scripture to where we would go over, you know, right now we're going over the book of Titus, and we're taking, like, months to go over this. We go over, like, a couple verses at a time, and I absolutely love that because we're going and doing it, like, you know, three applications for these two verses. And I grew up in that way. I grew up knowing and having a deep love for the word, and just seeing what it says and being like, yeah, that's what the word of God says. Like, there's no question about it. And then actually when I went up to college, it was really difficult for me because that was when really hard discussions were brought up my freshman year. I had friends who were in the LGBT community, and one of them was actually involved in our Christian community, and that kind of rocked my world because it's like I have such love for this person, but it seemed like a lot of my classmates were believing that that was okay when the Bible that I grew up with was saying, like, no, it's not. And I was saying, like, okay, like, this was the moment where it wasn't my parents' faith anymore to what I grew up in at the church, but it actually became my own. And I went into scripture my freshman year deeper than I had before, looked up everything about homosexuality and what God says about it. And I read the scripture. I'm like, how is this not clear for people? Like, this is so clear for what the Lord says. And I think that the Lord kind of showed me even more so how much I love his word. And I don't want to take it out of context or to misinterpret it, because I think a lot of Christians nowadays actually do have a misinterpretation or a misguided knowledge of who God is or who Jesus is, and saying, like, Jesus is love. It's like, yeah, he is, but God is also the God of justice. And, like, we just can't forget about those things. And I think that was when my faith really kind of grew into more of a mature faith, to where it was my own. I went into scripture deep, and I was a part of a great Christian church community after college, and a part of this church, to where that became more of also a personal relational relationship with God, to where I knew that he delighted in my getting to know him and having a relationship with me, and speaking to me through his word and sharing beautiful images with me, or, you know, being able to encourage other people in their walk, because I also just found a lot in my life that I love encouraging women of the faith. I really wanted to be able to have them know what their worth was in Jesus and what the scripture says about who they are in Christ. And that was something that God made like known to me more and more. And it was more clear as I grew older. And, you know, that is kind of my testimony right now. It's just like, it really has gone from like a very misguided understanding that because I was a believer, or because I was a part of a Christian family, that meant I was, but actually going into like, no, like this is my own faith and what that looks like and how it's grown and how I've really come to love God the older I get and love his word more, the more I'm into in the word. And I'm actually like, I think there's this one girl that I know, and she really actually, I feel like, knows the Bible better than I do. She's like, yo, yeah, like in Esther, I was reading this, like, oh girl, you know, I don't even know where that's from. Like, okay. But, you know, it's still like a desire of wanting to just dive deeper in the word and knowing him in that way, because it just gives me a better understanding of who he is. And I want to share that understanding with more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. It sounds like there were two main turning points in your life. Like mm-hmm. you mentioned growing up in a Christian home and going to church and thinking when you were young that that made you a Christian, which I think a lot of people get stuck in that, you know, like mm-hmm. being a Christian is going to church. Being a Christian is serving in the church. Yeah. Being a Christian is having a family in the church. But that separates, you know, actions from your heart attitude.
Right.
So it sounds like your first turning point was, you said, when you were 8.
Yeah.
And actually recognizing like what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then when you got into college and just making your faith your own is how you worded it. And just reading the Bible, mm-hmm. like you didn't do that much before.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
You're right, no. It took me 10 years to go through the Bible, like, from beginning to end, so, no.
Yes, yeah. It's hard to read. It's hard to get into. I think a lot of people are nervous about it, and that's what stops them from doing it, but there's so much joy mm-hmm. that comes from reading God's Word on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, even though you're getting poured into in church, and there's sermons and Bible studies and going through it with other people, there's just something special and a different joy that comes from the Lord when you spend that personal time with him.
Yeah.
So that's
totally
awesome.
Agree.
That's awesome. I definitely feel that. Cool. So after college and after spending that own time with God, how did your love for women and just encouraging them, encouraging other people, and this is like, you've been that in my life and always leaded me back to Christ with whatever I had to talk about, and I so appreciate that. But how do you feel like that came to be, just your drive to mm-hmm. want to really encourage women and share Christ?
Yeah. As you were talking, this is not something I even thought about, but this is why I know the Holy Spirit's leading this conversation, because I was actually, a memory popped up to when I was in high school, and, you know, you and I were seniors and all that stuff, but we were friends with the underclassmen. And I just remember thinking that when I was a freshman, the upperclassmen didn't give me a second thought. Like, we weren't friends, and I felt so looked over and not seen, just in terms of, like, I didn't matter, that they still kind of saw me as this middle schooler. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't want the underclassmen to feel that way. And I think that our group of friends, because I've known Amber since we were 12. It took us a while. But so we've known each other and grown up together. And, you know, our friend group really made a point to actually be friends with the underclassmen. It helped that our siblings were, like, also in younger grades, so we kind of were friends with mm-hmm. Their friends. But, you know, that was kind of when my love for women started. I really wanted them to know that they were cared for. And, you know, we could be talking about the weather and I wouldn't even really care. I was just like, as long as we know, like, as long as you know that someone in the church cares about you. So I think that's kind of where it started. And when I was in college, I really wanted to disciple women. Again, like, I think the Lord has just placed that desire in my heart. Like, I can't say anything about, like, where it came from except for from God. Like, I just, when I was a sophomore, I actually kind of mentored a couple girls, and we would have conversations about God or just really talk about life, and that I could be someone that they could talk to in confidants.
I just want to clarify, a sophomore in college.
Yes, sophomore in college. Yes. So, you know, that I could be someone that they could talk to and that they felt comfortable being around. And both of those girls had talents that I could see. And that's something else that even this past week I was discussing with other women, I was like, for some reason, I can see talent in people that others can't see. I think that's something the Lord has given me as a gift as well. And that's carried on through my life. So I worked at an opera company, and there were people in our chorus, they were local singers, but we would bring in, like, so the local singers were part of the chorus, but then we would hire, like, professional singers to be the main cast. But in the chorus, like, not everyone was great. A lot of them had nice voices, but there were a couple people where they just stuck out to me. And I was like, whoa, your talent is raw. Like, not everyone has that voice. And I wanted to encourage them to go on further in that. And, like, and they didn't get a lot of support from other people, maybe because of their personality, because they had very strong personalities. And they weren't everyone's cup of tea, to put it plainly. But the Lord gave me love for them, and also gave me that desire to lead them onward in their calling. And I think that that was just something that I really wanted to be for them, because, again, no one else was. And so, you know, for women specifically too, it just, like, I don't know, I really just want to be able to know that they, or to be there, and that they can know the word more for themselves, to apply it to their lives, that they can have a deeper relationship with the Lord, and what that can look like if they put in the work. Because you can't just, you know, live a life and think that it's, you know, you're good if you're just living it without actually applying steps of how to be a Christian to your life. So I feel like every woman needs someone like that in their life. I know that my mom is that for me. You are that for me, Amber, where you guys, like, I know I've been that person for you, but you've been that person for me, where we point each other to Christ. We always say we're very blunt with one another, and I appreciate that bluntness because it allows me to refocus and put my eyes back on Christ, whereas before I was inward and I was very, you know, prideful, selfish, or hung up on some guy that didn't like me. So, so it just, you know, we're meant to be a part of the Big C Church. We're meant to be in community. We're meant to walk, in this journey of being a Christian together. We're walking down the narrow path, and we need someone to walk alongside with. Otherwise we're going to fall down a lot and not have anyone to help pick us up. We really need that community. So I think that's kind of how that desire started, and that's been a main driving force to what I do now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's living out the two greatest commandments, mm-hmm. loving God and loving others. Yeah, so that's just really awesome to see, and just the heart that God has given you, mm-hmm. And specific talents mm-hmm. and the uniqueness and how God has made you and driven you to where you are today. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an awesome transition into talking about Splendor mm-hmm. and how Splendor came to be. So tell us a little bit about what Splendor is first.
Yeah, so Dressed in Splendor is actually a spinoff or, you know, a plant based off from Splendor magazine. It is a quarterly Christian women's magazine, and the mission of that, this organization, this company, is to encourage women to know who God made them to be, empower them to use their gifts to glorify Him, and to equip them to make disciples in their field, all without worry or strife. And that comes from Luke 12:27, just as, you know, our intro says. It says, look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And that mission of this magazine is really to help women know that in the church that we all have different gifts. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ. And it's going to look different. And not everyone is going to be a stay-at-home mom. Not everyone's going to be working in the church. Not everyone's going to be a missionary overseas. All of those things are absolutely beautiful. But a lot of us are going to be working as a nurse, like you, Amber, or, you know, working a 9-to-5 corporate job, or working a nonprofit, or, you know, doing trade or whatever. And each of those jobs are part of the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. We're called to do that in our workplace. And I want to encourage women to actually make those disciples, because a lot of us kind of hide behind our desk. We don't have that confidence to share the gospel and be like, oh, like, that's actually for outside the church, you know, like, I don't need to, or like outside of workplace, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's really easy to think that if you're not in ministry or you're not working in the church, then, oh, it's not my job to share the gospel.
Right.
That's not what,
right.
That's not my thing. God hasn't given me that gift. I'm going to shy away from that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that I had that understanding. I mean, my parents always said, like, you know, shine a light and share the gospel. And they were really encouraging in that. But I still was really scared about it, because working in the arts, you know, you meet people of different faith backgrounds or no faith background. And you get nervous about sharing something, especially when you're in the arts. And again, the LGBT community is very heavy in the arts community. And so you don't want to be offensive, and yeah, you're scared to share the truth with them. And so for me, I think like that's been something God has been growing in me. And I really want to be able to share just encouragement for women as they read the magazine of how they can use their gifts and talents and actually share the gospel through how God made them to be, and to embolden them to stand up for what's right. Because of the state of this world that we're living in, we really do need to be even more bold to share the gospel, because it needs it even now more so than ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Christ commands us to do, mm-hmm, is to share the gospel. Yeah. If you claim to have a relationship with God, you need to go share the gospel. Like, God has called you to do that, no matter where you're working, no matter if you're a student still, mm-hmm, in school, or even if you're a kid and you're still living at home. Mm-hmm. Like, God commands you to do that. Yeah. And I know that thinking about it a little deeper, that's how you truly love someone. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, like he says in John, mm-hmm, then that is truly loving someone, is teaching them and showing them scripture, teaching them about God, so that they can also have that joy and, mm-hmm, eternal life that we have.
Yeah,
so that's so great to hear. So this series that we're going through in this podcast, or this podcast series, mm-hmm, that we are going through, is called Mountains and Valleys. So why does starting Splendor, or how does Splendor have anything to do with mountains and valleys?
Yeah, so I started this magazine in the first year of when COVID started. And, you know, in the mountains and valleys, we're kind of emphasizing the past couple years since COVID started and like the ups and downs of our life. But really, it's we all go through these ups and downs in life. But I really wanted to apply how the magazine goes in tandem with this series, because So I was working at a Christian ballet company at the time, and I absolutely love this company. My sister actually was a dancer with them, and that's how I got my job working with them. And it was a wonderful community that I worked with. However, I was seeing my sister live out her dream every single day. And as much as I loved to see her dance, there was part of me that was saying, Lord, what about me? You know, I have these gifts and talents that you've given me, but when is it my turn? Like, you, I know that you're calling me to do something, and no job I've had before, even doing missions, because I've done missions with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, you know, all those things that I've done, it was not what God has called me to do. And so that desire really grew more of trying to figure out what it was, or crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, like, when is it my turn? And, you know, I was actually hoping and planning to stay for another year when I was at that company in the fall. But then, you know, COVID hit in March of 2020, and we were all sent to our homes. And that was when communication really got tricky with me and my higher ups, to where we didn't have enough conversations. And also I felt like I had no idea what to do in this, this crisis, but also in general of how to lead when I wasn't there able to ask them questions, just point blank. Or, but at that time too, like, because I was at home living with my parents, because I was, you know, even more desperate to know God's calling for me, I was depressed, and I really just was so sad about being where I was at that moment, and I grew to hate my job. And I never thought I would hate it. I knew it wasn't like my favorite thing to do, but I had joy where I was, and I was trying to be content where God had me. But you know, there was a time when you and I, Amber, were walking through Target, and I was like literally crying, and I was just like, I hate this job so much. And you're like, Lydia, I think you need to get out. And I said the same thing to my parents, but you know, they were saying like, Lydia, you cannot quit your job in the middle of a global crisis. And I had resolved to, you know, not quit unless I had another job lined up. But by the grace of God, I was fired.
Praise the Lord. And we mean that when we say it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, and we left on good terms. And honestly, it was, you know, I was working with dancers who, that was their dream. They wanted to be there and dance for the Lord through that company. And I told my boss who let me go at that time, I said, I would have rather it be me than anybody else, because that is their dream. This is not mine. And so honestly, yeah, it was by God's grace that he had them decide to let me go. And they used the excuse that it was budget reasons, and that was probably part of it, but probably also like lack of communication. It was just really poor. But
100% of it was God pushing you out.
Oh yeah, he was pushing me out for sure. My parents weren't happy, but you know, I was trying to figure out next steps still, but they had kept me on until the end of June. And right at the end of June, you know, my family and I were going on a vacation. It was the last week that I was working for them, and we were finally back in the office, that it was halfway through the week. And the Lord had put this thought in my mind. He basically told me, saying to start a Christian women's magazine. And immediately I was like, yep, that makes sense. All right. And so the rest of that week, like, just, I felt like the Lord just downloaded all this stuff into my brain of how to create it, what it was going to look like, the name of the magazine. And he was I didn't even realize he was prepping me for this job all along. My desire to encourage women, my desire to write, not just encouraging women in general, but also to encourage them into following their dreams. And I just, you know, I feel like we are in a generation that more people are going after their passion and not just a financially responsible, stable job. I feel like the Lord is using me to help push people into that riskier path.
Now, before this moment, was there any thought that you would have ever started a magazine? Or was this like the first moment that God like planted that seed?
Yeah, that was the first moment. I know nothing about magazines. So I really like that was honestly a surprise. And that's why I knew it was from the Lord as well, because I would not have come up with that thought on my own. I did blog a lot. I think those were stepping stones to what he was preparing me for. You know, I had one of my Instagram accounts be solely like a devotional calligraphy account, and it was actually called Wildflower Splendor. And again, like that name, that whole theme has been like the theme of my post-college career. You know, like it was, the Lord kept showing me and basically telling me about like the wildflowers and how he saw me as with childlike faith, just dancing through flowers. And I really didn't know exactly what the wildflowers were for. But then I looked that up and I was like, ah, yeah, like I want to be dressed in splendor of like a wildflowers, like, you know. And that's kind of how he viewed me. And I think like that was, again, like I had no idea that was really him preparing me for like the entire theme of the magazine was about splendor, the wildflower splendor.
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break from my conversation with Amber to talk to you a little bit about the product you just heard about, Splendor Magazine. Am I going to do a self-promotion on my podcast? Why, yes, I am. But y'all, seriously, this magazine is near and dear to my heart, not because I founded it, but because of the mission behind it. I am all for women knowing that they have a place in the body of Christ that further advances kingdom, and I believe that this magazine really does encourage and inspire women of all ages to know that the gifts and talents that God has given them is not by accident, but is by design. Y'all, you were created for God and by God. You were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance his kingdom. This magazine is to help encourage you in your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when things feel so difficult to keep going. Trust me, I'm there right now and I feel ya. All I can say is that the women on my team who write on the different passions that women have really actually encourage me in my own faith walk, and I believe it can be true for you too. We've just released our summer issue this week and we're mailing it out to our buyers, but it's not too late to grab yours. Right now, if you use code DIS15, that's DIS15, you can purchase our summer issue for 15% off. Or you can purchase an annual subscription. It's already marked at 15% off the retail price, but if you use that code, you can get an additional 15% off. Y'all, I'm serious about wanting to encourage you with this magazine, so please don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Amber.
So can you just explain a little bit for our audience what that really means to be like dressed in splendor?
Yeah.
Like how does that relate to wildflowers? What in the world does that mean? Can you just go a little deeper?
Yeah. So I shared that verse earlier about how splendor and not splendor, but Solomon in all his splendor was not even dressed like the wildflowers of the field. And you know, that should actually shock everybody, first of all, because Solomon was the richest, probably most attractive man that ever lived on earth. And, you know, he was dressed in extreme extravagance. Like, he could afford it. So, of course, he was going to look the part of the richest and most beautiful man. However, the wildflowers were dressed in even more splendor than he was. Mm. Why? Because they were trusting in their creator to make them. You know, it says that they did not labor or spin, but we can take that verse and see that, you know, Solomon did. He did labor and spin after what he wanted. You know, he did stray away from the Lord in terms of with all of his mistresses and all that stuff. But he really just, I think that kind of shows like the wildflowers didn't care about anything except for trusting in their creator to make them and to grow. Mm. They did not need to worry about anything of like, all right, Lord, you gonna give us some water today? Like, you know, it's just like they didn't need to, they didn't worry about that. And I feel like that is something that, you know, has been what God has been teaching me in my entire life is like, I'd love to know the future. I would love to know when I'm getting married, whenever I'm even going to meet this man, or even just like, Lord, when am I going to move out of my parents' house? When am I going to see more income rolling in for the magazine? Or all these what ifs, or when. And sometimes I worry about like financial stuff, like paying bills and all that stuff. Like, I worry about tomorrow. I worry that I'm not going to make another week, and like, I'm like penny pinching, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not what God called us to do. He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Look at the birds of the air. He feeds them, so how much more does he care about us? And it's the same with the wildflowers. Like, he takes care of his creation. And we, who are made in his image, we should be dressed in even grander splendor, but the problem is we're not trusting in our Creator. So that is, you know, the mission in part of why Splendor is named after Luke 12:27, of that splendor, or this podcast of being dressed in splendor, is, you know, to be able to help encourage women or men to know that and trust that their Creator is taking care of them. And all he wants is our daily yes. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just say yes to him today. And if we can do that, then we will be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers.
That's awesome. I love that. That's so awesome. I was over here tearing up a little bit. just with how much God loves us, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
That he takes care of the wildflowers. Mm-hmm. He takes care of the birds. Mm-hmm. Like, he takes care of the whole earth. Mm-hmm. And yet, we mean so much more to him than those things.
Yes.
So that's awesome. That's so awesome. So going back to how God told you that mm-hmm. he wanted this magazine to start, I specifically remember like maybe 2 years or so before this, how there was just, you talked about like this transition in your social media and how you blogged mm-hmm. And you loved to write and, you know, all of those things, but there was absolutely a transition in your life that was like, all right, I'm done living my life for myself. And mm-hmm. I know this because I've known you for a long time. And we've had these conversations, but you were of this mindset of, I'm done living my life for myself. I'm done living on social media for myself.
Yeah.
And like, you had kind of changed your mission mm-hmm. into, I'm going to write about God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write about God for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so would you say that that purpose was kind of similar to what Splendor and this podcast has formed into?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, it's not even just with writing. It was with my own voice, too. Like, there was a time when, and it actually, that transition happened when I realized there was an idol in my life. And that idol actually brought up deeper insecurities of myself and why I wanted attention on me instead of all on God. And I mean, even how I was using social media was like, it was a very difficult point of tension between me and my mom specifically. And she just kept, or even, I mean, my dad would only know about it based on what my mom said, but you know, they would say like, Lydia, why do you always have to put pictures of yourself up on here? And, you know, and like, it's not about you and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, like at the time I was like fighting against that because I'm like, no, I want to share about Jesus. But really it was like, no, I really wanted to just get attention. I wanted to see how many likes I could get. And I think a lot of people who are on social media, even when they want to glorify God and all of that, like they will still have that desire and that temptation in them. It's like wanting the attention on themselves. But yeah, you're totally right. Like I there was a big turning point in my life to where I was like, man, this is just exhausting to try and like please people and please myself. I just don't care anymore. And I want to give all of myself, my voice, my talents and everything, writing, my job, just everything to the Lord. And it's the same, you know, this is that purpose doesn't go away with new ventures. It actually gets stronger, especially with Splendor and the podcast of just like, no, I just want to share the truth. I want to share the truth wholeheartedly and even like share on hard-hitting topics if that's what the Lord wants me to do, to be able to point people back to Christ and back to his word instead of what the world is telling them. Because, you know, our very first issue was on inclusivity and diversity. And it did talk about the death of George Floyd. And although there was a lot of, not backlash necessarily, but not everybody who read my magazine agreed with what I wrote in terms of, like, you know, it was to try and honor God through it and using Micah 6:8 as an example of acting justly, loving mercy, and walking with the Lord. But because people have a strong opinion on one side or the other, it's not their favorite article to read. But really what I was trying to do was to bring people to the on opposing ends of the argument to come together, like, this is what God says. We need a balance of both acting justly and loving mercy, and all while doing it while walking humbly with God. If we don't, then we're not going, like, we're going to fail miserably if we don't walk with God in this. So, you know, my mission with the magazine and with the podcast is to always point people back to God's word, back to Him, and stop thinking about our own opinion and what we think is right, and point each other, including myself, back to Him.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is a great lead into the next question, because you just talked a little bit about what you could find in the magazine. Mm-hmm. Can you just tell us a little bit more about, like, what topics are in there, what your magazine includes, sections of life, or, you know, things that you hit on, mm-hmm. and that you and some of the people that work with you write about in it?
Yeah, so our magazine has basically features that will reflect the different passions that women have. It's small right now, and I definitely want it to grow because women have a lot of different passions, and we're not hitting on all those topics, but I feel like this is a great broad start to that, to be able to share, you know, from our different editors who write on these different features, you know, how they actually use their talents to glorify God and to share the gospel through that. So we have features like home and living, food, fashion and beauty. We have health and fitness, love and relationships. We have travel. We also have a devotional section, and then a feature where an older woman, not too old, I'm sure she would hate, would call her older, but like not too old, to where she actually shares advice with the younger women of our generation. So, you know, she is called the Titus 2 editor, and it basically says, like, older women, you know, build up and encourage the younger women in the faith. And so it really just, like, once we want to tie in scripture in each of these points, but in relation to the themes of our magazine. So mountains and valleys is the first theme of the issue. You know, this really, like, we want to be able to share how the past 2 years for our editors have really shaped them and kind of changed their passion. We're trying to, again, just share on these different things. There also was a Hot Topic Issues feature and a Deborah Woman feature. And we had that for the last year, and this year it just felt like the Lord was leading us into a different direction for how we want to do it. And I think that's also something unique about our magazine, is that we're not trying to, like, continue in this mold or like this formula for how the magazine should be. We're really, when we met for our annual retreat in deciding about what we want each issue theme to be, it didn't seem as important to talk about hot topic issues. It seemed more important to talk about more personal things that apply to our lives to encourage other people, because I think people are tired. You know, like, it's been 2 years since COVID, like 2.5 years since COVID started, and people are tired of living in this flux of, like, what's normal? When is it going to be back to normal? Which there is no normal period, but, you know, just like trying to build up their faith again and encourage them on to move forward in strength. Because, you know, we're all going to go through mountains and valleys in our life, and it's just a matter of how we depend on the Lord in this time. We can't do anything by our own might, and there are going to be seasons that are harder than others, but it's a matter of how we look at those situations and how we can walk through it. And, you know, we can even find joy in the suffering, and that is, like, the purpose of at least this first issue, is to share how there's joy even in the suffering.
Yes. God wants to be just as big of a part in your life in those things that happen daily, mm-hmm. as much as He wants to be in those really big situations that happen in the world that affect you. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. that's so awesome to be able to be encouraged by your magazine. I know that that's something that I get, and I love it, and I love to read it and be encouraged by it, and just the different sections. My next question for you is, how is your relationship with God been starting this magazine? Would you say that there have been mountains and valleys while you've started, since starting to where you've come now, and even working on this podcast and Dressed in Splendor? Have there been mountains and valleys in that? And can you share with us some of those?
Yeah. So if we're looking at mountains as the high parts and the valleys being the low parts of our lives, like, so when I first, when the Lord first kind of shared with me that I was going to do this magazine, everything was like, I was on top of the world. I was like, I finally found my calling. This makes sense. I'm so excited. And again, like, there were actually times when I couldn't fall asleep at night because I kept thinking about, like, things I needed to do, but in an excited way. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. Ooh. You know, like, I just, like, really.
You were like, I finally found my dream.
Yeah, I really was, because and it was actually very interesting when you say, like, I found my dream. This wasn't my dream, but the Lord made it my dream, you know? Like, that's the cool thing about it, is that I feel like especially when you know it's from God, you know, like, you get excited about the dream that He placed on your heart, and He's grown in you. So that was a really awesome time in my life, when the excitement of all that, when I was getting my team together and we were planning things all out and everything. But then I started... So it went from not being able to sleep because I was really excited to not being able to sleep because I was anxious. Mm. So, you know, we did Kickstarter events, you know, to try and raise money to actually get this going and all that stuff. And, you know, I did have some people share with me that maybe I should have done this for free. Maybe I should just share content on the website and, you know, share different articles from my team members just to get people to know more about us and get excited to maybe support us more.
Like, start it online instead of paper.
Online. I mean, just in general, online, like, all free.
Yeah.
Like, no product, just free, like, basically a blog. And I had thought about that, but the more I was starting with social media and getting that going, getting people excited about it, with the website not even being up, I actually did a survey and said, do you guys want print or digital? And it was like a tie, basically. So I was originally planning on doing print and digital, people did want print, which is also something that's very interesting, that people nowadays say, like, oh, magazines are a dying breed, basically, don't do this. That's another thing that people told me outside of the magazine world. But when I talk to people inside the magazine world, especially in Peoria, like, they're like, no, like, if you can find that community and that, like, that niche audience, you can thrive. And I also found that if the product is beautiful, people will buy it. So
that's so interesting.
I know, isn't it? Like, I was very surprised too. And it's so interesting, because when the Lord told me to start a Christian women's magazine, I was like, all right. Like, I didn't even question it. And I probably should have, because I'm like, really? Like, magazine? Like, you sure you don't want to do something else? Like, yeah, it just wasn't, I don't know. But anyway, like, as I was thinking about the cost of that, and, you know, some people were like, yeah, it can cost up to thousands of dollars to print. I was like, oof, you know, this is rough, you know? So that was kind of, I think, when anxiety started kicking in. And I've had anxiety before, you know, but it's never been quite as bad as when I started the magazine. And the thing about it is that I knew, again, that the Lord wanted me to do this, and I trusted Him. But sometimes your body and sometimes the enemy will also try and make you think otherwise. Like, he'll use anxiety to crush you. And that is kind of a little bit of what he tried to do, the enemy did. And I had my very first panic attack in 2021 of January. I remember that. It was like January, February. And it kind of happened out of nowhere. And it was so interesting, because the night before, I clearly remember what happened. Like, I had to let someone go from my team. And before we even, like, started the magazine. And I did not have any anxiety about that. I wasn't upset. I tried actually showing this person love through a very kind email. But I went to bed, and I went to bed fine. But I woke up in the middle of the night, and I have a dog. Her name is Trudy. She's amazing. She hates being cuddled, though. She likes being pet. She likes being at the foot of my bed. But she does not like to be cuddled. So this was really interesting of what happened. I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't fall back asleep. I was wondering why I was up in the first place and why my heart was racing. And then all of a sudden my dog's head kind of popped up and she came over to be right next to me. And as I held her, which that's never happened before, 5 seconds, like I was holding her and 5 seconds later, I started having my first panic attack. Thankfully I kind of was like, okay, ooh, this is not good. And I got up and I washed my face and I prayed, and, I did not want to stay in that mindset, but I was like, whoa, this is just like, this has never happened to me before. And so those were my valleys. And I still, like, you know, it's not easy running a business, especially when I'm the first entrepreneur in my family. They have no idea what I'm doing. They have no idea what it's like. My parents are big supporters of letting me, like, you know, live with them. And that's how they're supporting me. They're not forcing me to get any job. Like, I'm working as a barista, yes. But, you know, they did not force me to get a better paying job. And that's something that I really love about them right now. But yeah, so I, because they don't know what to do, that also has been hard for me. And, but the thing is too, is that like, I have found great community here in Peoria, which is very surprising. I mean, Amber knows me. When I'm an army brat, so I've traveled around. I lived in France, guys. I lived in Belgium. I've traveled so much. I lived in Texas, Hawaii, the Philippines. Like, I can name all these really cool places, and I'm so thankful for it. And God used my singleness for it in a beautiful way. But yeah, I did not want to move back to Peoria at all.
No, you did not.
Yeah. And it's just interesting how God actually prepared my heart better to move back, after I moved away from that job in the ballet company up in Chicago. But, you know, I have found what a blessing this place has been. And it's been, they've been really the biggest encouragers. My boss is an amazing Christian woman at the coffee shop. She also is a great testimony of how God will equip the unequipped, because she was a teacher before starting her coffee shop. And all she knew about coffee before she started this business was that she loved coffee. That was it. But she loved the community that coffee, especially local coffee shops, can bring. And she was someone that has been a great encouragement to me with my business. She's given me advice. She's connected me with so many people. Me working at that coffee shop, I've met so many other female business entrepreneurs, but also other people who encouraged me in my journey to start this magazine. And I've met some of my really good friends now who are also in business or otherwise, to where, you know, even my coworkers, like, they have been my biggest supporters alongside you and my friends and close friend, my family and all that. And I couldn't be more thankful. So those are the mountains, but it's like, it's just, it's continuously hard. Like, there's no easy part about running a business, except for the joy that people receive when they get it. And when they look at it and they say, wow, this is beautiful. And they get excited about the mission as well. I'm like, wow, okay, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's the easy part. Everything else is so hard. I'm so out of my element, but the Lord is like continuously equipping me as I go along. And, you know, I still have anxiety. I'm also very overwhelmed right now because I'm completely involved in the church and doing other things, and I want to be involved in community, but I'm seeing the ramifications of not receiving rest. So yeah, I would say like right now I'm probably in a valley, but like, I think there are moments of mountains in those times too. Like, it's not always valleys. It's not always mountains. There's going to be good mixed with the bad. There's going to be bad, like, you know, all that stuff. Like, it's not ever going to be easy, but I am finding those moments of complete joy, in those hard times. And I'm like, you asked me how my relationship has been with the Lord since starting this. It's only continued growing. Like, I am completely dependent on Him for everything. I'm like, Lord, help me. And even though I'm not in the Word as much as I would like to be, He's someone that I, you know, in those moments where I still wake up in the middle of the night and I'm anxious about what I have to do for the next day, I am going to bed, like I'm going to sleep again, and I'm saying, Lord, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. And that's the truth. I do trust Him in all of this, and He has yet to close a door on me. And that is something that I'm continuously walking in. And until the Lord says, don't do this anymore, I'm going to be faithful to this calling and be faithful to as small or big of an audience that is listening to this podcast or reading the magazine. I'm just trying to be faithful and a good steward of what He's given me.
Yeah. I think a lot of the time, especially in my life, I can look in the past and see where I've had anxiety about things that God is trying to grow me in or move me towards, or even when I haven't recognized that and I've had anxiety, it has caused me to take a step back or five steps back and really avoid that. And because I'm like, oh, if I'm anxious about it, then I shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. If I'm anxious about it, then I've put myself in a bad situation.
Right.
And growing up and just hearing a lot of people talk about anxiety in the gospel, in scripture, it was like you said, don't be anxious for anything. Like, if God takes care of everything else, He's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And I always took that as, if I'm anxious, then I'm sinning. Mm-hmm. If I'm anxious, then I'm in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. But I've recently read this book that has just kind of really transformed my thinking in that. And basically what it said in summary is that God gives us anxiety to move us out of our comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
God gives us that anxiety to grow us in Him and show us, like you said, that we can't do this alone, that we're supposed to be dependent on Him, that like through our weaknesses, He is glorified. Mm-hmm. And so I always try to remember that when I'm feeling anxious about something, is like, oh, okay, Lord, I'm anxious. I feel you working in me. This means that you are working in me and you're pushing me out of my comfort zone to recognize that I need to pray about it, that I need to come to you about it and talk about it. So, I just think that's awesome. Like, you're living that out through, your anxiety that you feel through the magazine and stuff that comes up. And like you said, there's mountains and there's valleys, there's awesome things that happen, but we're also human and we're sinners.
Yeah.
And, so even when we're doing the Lord's work, even when we're in ministry or sharing the gospel with someone, like we're still a sinner.
Yeah.
And it's not us, it's God.
Right.
So that's awesome just to hear you talk about like just how God has grown you through this, to be dependent on Him, to grow in Him and your relationship with Him and all that stuff. I love that. So what would be some advice that you would give someone who's trying to start a small business, or maybe even not a small business, maybe just trying to start something new, maybe pursuing ministry, or getting involved in a new like business that maybe they're not an owner of, but they're just trying to get involved in that and they feel called, or even if they're just having anxiety about God calling them somewhere and they're a little nervous to take that first step. What's some advice that you would give our audience that's listening?
Yeah, first and foremost, pray about it. You cannot do anything without bringing it to the Lord first. I mentioned if y'all are like wondering about what to do, you're in a better place. Well, no, you were in the same place that I was in terms of like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? When I kept crying out to the Lord and saying like, what is my calling? When is it my turn? You know, I kept getting frustrated, going back to that again, of just like how, like, I kept doing all these things and I was obedient to God, and God cares about your obedience first and foremost. Don't ever forget that. No matter where you're at right now, like, He cares about that, but He also wants you to talk to Him. Like, He wants you to share your desires of your heart, like share just what's on your heart, period. Like, He wants to know what's going on in your mind, because yes, he knows every thought in your head, but if you're like, relationship with people is the same as how it should look with God. If Amber and I, you and I were talking, you can't know my, you don't know what's really on my mind or my thoughts unless I tell it to you. And again, like, yes, God knows everything, but you want to know what's, you want me to say it out loud. It's the same with God. Like, God obviously knows what's on your heart, but that is the unique thing about how beautiful a relationship with the Lord can look like, is that it is personal. Mm. It's not just you reading the Bible and saying you believe in God, and then, like, you know, trying to be like him, but not including him in every aspect of your life. I think that's something that I even try to encourage, like, the high school students I'm a part of, is like, please talk to God. Even if you're mad, shout at him. He can take it. He might not like it, but he will take it, you know? Like, he obviously doesn't deserve to be yelled at, but, like, I've literally cried out and yelled at him with my frustrations before, and that's, yeah, like I said, that's the first step. You absolutely need to pray about it.
Yeah, God desires us to be honest, mm-hmm. you know, like, he doesn't say that we need to come to him perfect. Mm-hmm. We don't need to fix our sin issues before we can talk to him about them. Mm-hmm. Something cool that I thought you really pulled from what you said earlier was just praying to God about your desires changes your desires to be what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. Changes your desires to be God's desires.
Yeah.
Which is so cool to hear in your personal story how God, like, before mm-hmm. Splendor, mm-hmm. never ever were you like, it is my dream to start a magazine.
Yeah.
But as you prayed to God about, you know, putting you where he wanted you, mm-hmm. he did exactly that. And even if this wasn't your dream, like, this is exactly where you want to be. Mm-hmm. You, like, I want to be where God wants me to be.
Yeah.
And you're exactly where God wanted you to be and where he wanted you to end up, which is awesome. And there's so much joy and comfort and mm-hmm. peace in that, even though there's mountains and valleys. So I love that. What's another piece of advice that you would give?
Yeah. I think, you know, you reminded me as you brought that up, is that I would not have been in that position of either being okay with what God wanted me to do or just having this joy in following after him if I did not remove the idol or a barrier in between me and God's with our relationship.
Yeah.
So that's something else too. Like, as you're praying, like, ask the Lord to make your heart clean, to show you what might be something like of a pride issue between you and the Lord. So for me, I have this desire of wanting to be in a relationship to where that became an idol, and I desired a man over me desiring God first. Mm. And that, you know, when I decided to, you know, to remove that idol, to be single on purpose, and to really try and have the Lord be the number one man in my life, when I did that, that actually changed my attitude and my relationship with him to where it was less, again, like you said, like, it was less about me and more about God. So if you're going to go into anything, it cannot be about you at all. Like, first of all, everything does have to be for his glory, whether it's faith-based or not. You know, like, if this is obviously, the mission is so clearly faith-based, but if you were to do a podcast, actually a better example would probably be like starting a jewelry business and there's really no faith aspect to it. You have to include God in every aspect of that, first of all. Second of all, that you would, you know, dedicate your life to sharing the gospel through your mission or through your work. So, like, even selling coffee, like, my boss who at the coffee shop, like, she is so good about, you know, shining Jesus' light through just slinging a cup of Joe, you know what I mean? Like, she's so good about intentionality and getting to know people. And even my coworkers and I, like, we just want to, like, just smile at them, make their day, like, for them to see, like, oh my gosh, that was, like, the highlight of my day because they made me feel seen and loved. Like, that's Sarah's mission at the Spot Coffee. Like, she really does have a desire to put God first in that as well. Well, you wouldn't really think about that. But yeah, so I, again, like that is something that you really need to be honest with yourself about. And I find out maybe some sin areas in your life that is preventing you from having a full, deep relationship with the Lord, where you want none of the credit and God gets all of it. Mm. So that's my second advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's on the throne of your heart?
Seriously.
Yeah. Like I have to ask myself that a lot. I like to put myself there. Mm-hmm. And that's my pride and that's my selfishness.
Yeah.
But in that being like, am I putting Jesus on the throne? Am I putting him under the throne? Am I putting him at my feet? Or is he not even in like the circle, you know?
Right.
Have I just put him off to the side and I've shoved everything else at the feet of the throne that I'm sitting on? So yeah, I think that that's an awesome question to be able to ask yourself, to see where your heart attitude is in it. Like, are you doing this for yourself? Kind of like you said earlier, like, are you posting on social media for yourself? Are you posting on social media for the likes? Are you posting on social media because you want to encourage someone that follows you? And you want them to be able to look at your posts and think of Christ instead of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are awesome. That's awesome advice to give for someone who could be in a similar situation that you were in.
I will also share too of just some last piece of advice. If you feel unqualified to follow in the direction of God's calling you to, just remember that God equips the unequipped. If we look at the example all throughout scripture, God always used the little people, the people who don't make sense to follow his calling, to do what he wills. So we look at Moses. He had a stutter and he led people out of Egypt, and he became like one of the most eloquent men, I feel like, because he followed after he was obedient to the Lord. David was a shepherd and the youngest of his kids, not his kids, but of Jesse's kids, and he became the king of Israel. You know, God uses the people who are often overlooked and often unqualified to do a job. I mean, like, literally David killed Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. Like, you know, all those other men that were equipped in with armor and swords, they were scared to go after Goliath. And yet David's like, nah, God's got this. So that's something to encourage you of, like, I feel still very unequipped to do this job. And I know that God is equipping me as I go along because he's called me to it. And that's also another piece of advice I would give you, is that if you continue to feel like you're not knowing what you're doing, like, that's okay, as long as you trust in the Lord to help make that path again clear to you. And I can very confidently say that I know more about running a magazine than I did 2 years ago. And I think in 2 years from now, I'll say I know a lot more than I do at that point than I do now. You don't need to be a professional to follow after God's calling, is all I have to end with, is just, yeah, don't feel like you being unqualified puts you out of the game.
Right. And again, it's because it's not about you, it's about God.
Yeah.
And God's going to work and do whatever he wants in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you're equipped or not.
Yes.
Amen. Well, Lydia, thank you so much for, first of all, letting me guest host, letting me ask you all the questions just about your life and your journey and how you've gotten here with this small business and the magazine and the podcast. It has been an honor to be here and to also just like live this with you, to be able to walk with you in it. Like, I've just loved that. So, thank you for letting me be a small part in it and, just being able to ask you these questions and for sharing this, being willing to be open and honest with our audience who listens and with me, about where you are and your mountains and valleys.
Yeah, thank you for the questions you asked, because I mean, we kind of went over this beforehand, but you asked some really great questions that I did not really anticipate. And I'm very thankful for you, because you're really good at that and knowing me so well. Thank you for stepping in as the guest host. And for those listening, if you really liked her, don't worry, she's not going to be gone forever. She's coming back again a few times this season. And I feel like I'm always just blessed to sit down with her, because we always have wonderful God conversations, and we always want to make sure that God is in the center of those conversations. And so that's why I've asked her to be a part of the podcast, and even in this small way. And I hope that when we continue our conversations in the future, that you'll be blessed by it. So thank you again, Amber, for joining.
Yeah.
I just love you so much, and I'm thankful for your friendship.
I love you too.
Thank you so much again for tuning in, friends. I really hope this conversation blessed you in any way, shape, or form. I know that my topic on the LGBTQ community may rub some people the wrong way, and maybe how I talked about it, but the Lord has given me such a deep love for them so that they may know the true love that can only come from God. And I was sharing on something that pertained to how I grew closer to Christ, but in no way affects my love for them. I pray that each one of you listening may know that your worth comes from our Creator, and that this conversation and conversations to come may further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at SplendorMag, or on Facebook.com/SplendorMag to get the latest updates. That's SplendurMag, M-A-G. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review on Spotify and Apple. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dressed in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L, Kid. Thank you to Amber for joining the show and for always pointing me back to Christ. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for joining us today. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.